we go, the trappings of Christmas, the traditions of Christmas, all of that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. It reveals a lot about us. But this story, the real essence of the story, when it's all distilled down to what matters the most, it's Jesus. And Jesus reveals a lot about God. Jesus reveals a lot about who our God is. As a matter of fact, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so this morning, for a minute, I want to talk to you about the fact that Christmas reveals God. Christmas reveals, for instance, that God is approachable. He is accessible. Christmas reveals that God is personal. Christmas reveals that God is all-powerful and more. But it's just those couple of things I want to talk to you about for a moment. One of the most well-known scriptures for Christmas is Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we read that in the same country shepherds were living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That's Christmas. That is Christmas. As a matter of fact, he said that this is great joy for all people. Pray with me for a second. God, we thank you that already we've sensed your presence with us. We're reaching out to touch you. But you came to us first. You took the initiative to come into our world, the bleakness, the darkness of our world, with your light and with your love. You took the initiative to come into our lives, each of us, personally, if we will but bow before you. And you are here in this place this morning. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Christmas reveals that God is accessible. Think about this little portion of the story that we just read from Luke's gospel. Angels, which are some of the most exalted creatures in all of creation, coming down to man, not just to any man, but to the shepherds who are considered to be like every man. In other words, they could be any one of us. They are the most humble of men. And here we have a collision of the divine and the human. The angel coming down to these lowly men, the shepherds, to first tell them about Christ the King. And then they say, remember that this is great joy to all people, to everyone. You know, God is, Christmas tells me, Christmas screams to us, if we're listening, God is accessible. He has not hidden himself away. If he's hidden in plain sight. You can't miss him. You shouldn't be able to miss him. And yet, in the Christmas season, I was just talking to you a moment ago about how that Christmas reveals a lot about us. What do we cherish? What do? What do we give our time and our money to? You know, it reveals a lot about us, but the actual essence of the story, Christ, reveals a lot about God. How do we go about our day? How do we go about the season? There are lots of people who are just rushing right past the Christ of Christmas. Christ, Mass, Christmas. Christ, right in the word, Mass. And yet there are many who run right past the manger, right past the cross, right past the risen Savior, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, just busy about their lives. It reminds me of a true story about something that happened in our own area a few years ago. Back in 2007, in the subway in Washington, D.C., a man who looked like every man, like the shepherds. He looked like every man. He had a baseball cap, and he was just dressed casually. He started to play music on a violin. He played for 45 minutes, and he played five pieces by Bach. And during that time, it's calculated that thousands of people walked past him. And there was a couple of people who stopped. The one who stayed the longest, and I love this part of the story, the one who stayed the longest was a three-year-old boy. And his mom had to keep tugging him and pushing him and getting him moving along because they, like everybody else, was in a big hurry to get where they were going. The man who played for those 45 minutes collected a total of $32. 20 people stopped and listened, 20 total, and they gave a total of $32. Now, it was later revealed that the Washington Post was actually doing an experiment. They had set all this up. They took one of the premier violinists in all the world, and they dressed him in a nondescript way, and they put him in the D.C. subway during rush hour, and they asked him to play some of the most beautiful music, those pieces by Bach, some of the most intricate music ever written. And he played it on a $3.5 million violin, his personal violin, a Stradivarius. But people just walked past. The experiment was for this reason. They wanted to do an experiment to see whether people could recognize beauty in obscurity, to see whether people could recognize beauty in the midst of obscurity, in the busyness of their day, and maybe even you might consider a dirty place if you've ever been to the subway. Beauty was presented to people, beauty in the music, beauty in all of that, and they just walked right past. Now, in 2014, 10 years later, the Washington Post revealed all of this in a section of their newspaper. They told everybody, and don't you know, people would have been thinking, I wonder if I was there that day. The man's name is Joshua Bell, by the way, and just 2 days prior to that experiment in the D.C. Metro, he had played somewhere in Boston and sold out the arena where he's playing, and they spent an average of $100 per ticket, some more, some a little less, because he's a world-renowned violinist, but most people didn't know that. And then when the Washington Post published the story in 2014, they said he's coming back. Now that everybody in D.C. knows who he is, and everybody knows how you missed the man, this world-renowned violinist playing on his $3.5 million Stradivarius, some of the greatest music ever written, he's coming back to the Metro. Wouldn't you know it, the place was absolutely packed with people once they got the true story. Here's our hope, and you just heard it from Jerry. Here's our prayer for our own people that we love, for our community, church, that we would be able to tell them the story. Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and most people just rushed right past beauty in the midst of obscurity. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he laid his, how did the video put it? He laid in straw and manger. His throne was laid in straw. The King of Kings put his throne in straw and manger, and most people just rushed on by. They just rushed on by. Here's the good news for you and for me. Just like that story I just shared with you, the Bible gives us a chance. Another chance. The Bible declares to us that he came 2,000 years ago and that he's coming again, and you don't have to miss it. Isn't that good news? Yeah, that's good news. Everybody who clapped isn't going to miss it. I don't know about the rest of you, but everybody who clapped isn't going to miss it. I'm joking, of course. Lighten up. I love you. Let's not miss it. He is accessible. He doesn't want us to miss him. He wants everybody to stop and listen to him, to stop and bow before him, to stop and love him. He wants all of us to slow down our lives and be sure that we spend time with him because he is accessible. And if Christmas does not scream that, I don't know what does. He is accessible. God isn't just accessible. Christmas tells me that, but God is also personal. He's personal. You see, if we go to Matthew's gospel, we read this about the Christmas story. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, Matthew 1:23, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, sometimes we need to slow down and rethink the things that we've heard for so many years, and maybe you've heard it for 90 years. Rethink exactly how glorious that is, that God comes down to us. Or as the video puts it, the one who thunders through the heavens, yet whispers to our hearts. Who reigns victorious, yet bows to serve the broken. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. It's part of the mystery, but the truth about Christmas. He came into this world, and he came into, he's personal, into your life into my life. Have any of you ever heard of the TV program that used to be on about the, it's called Undercover Boss? A CEO of a company or the owner of a company would be dressed incognito, and he would come to work or at least to spend time with his employees. And usually he would go with those who were making like minimum wage, and they wouldn't recognize him. He'd spend some time with them. He would get to know them. He would get to know what they have to go through on the job, how hard and how difficult it might be. And usually he would even get to know them personally. Like one particular story where Mitch Modell, who owns the Modell sports franchise, worked undercover at a sporting goods store. So the CEO, the top dog, came down to the lowest rung, and he worked for minimum wage. Of course, he had a lot more in the bank, but he worked among those who were making the minimum wage. And he got to know one lady named Angel who had children, and together they were living in a homeless shelter, and she just hadn't made enough yet to get out of there. He learned to appreciate her work ethic and how much work she put into the job, as well as what it took to work on the floor at a sporting goods store that he owned. And in the at the end of the story, he gave her a check for $250,000 and told her to move out of that homeless shelter. He also made her an assistant manager, and that instantly gave her a $14,000 raise. But what the people constantly realized was the boss has now learned what it's like. The boss has learned what it's like to do my job every day, and they've come to appreciate it. Here's one thing that you need to know about your Jesus, the one who first came. Part of the incarnation, which is God coming down to us, is that he lived in this world. He experienced the highs and the lows of life, and the Bible talks about it. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah, it says he is, in the NIV, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Hebrews says about the fact that Jesus came down, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. That's those who have accepted him as Savior. The Bible calls us his brethren, his brothers and sisters. In all things, he had to be made like us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. In all things, he experienced, if you've ever wondered, do you ever wonder, does God really understand? Does he see what I'm going through? Yes, 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 yes. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he's familiar with pain and suffering. He has entered into our pain. And now he's passed into the heavens, and he is a compassionate high priest, the Bible says. So has he walked a mile in your shoes? You better believe it. Yes, yes. The incarnation of Christ coming down to this earth tells us that God understands. And that, too, is how we receive our peace. He's personal. He's personal. You don't receive peace at Christmas because you unwrap a special gift. You've received peace at Christmas because you invite the Prince of Peace into your life, because you embrace the Christ, Jesus. That's where peace comes from. And in that peace, he brings to you and to me joy as well. All the big themes of Christmas are found in a person, Jesus. Joy and peace and life and love, they're found in Jesus. Jesus. So yes, he's personal. It's all up to you. It's all up to you as to whether or not you will experience his joy, his peace, the power that he brings into your life. It's all up to each and every one of us. Christmas also reveals that God is all powerful. He's all powerful. In Matthew chapter 2, when it tells us that the Magi, when they came to find the king because they had seen the star, Herod finds out about all of this. And so he inquires. It tells us in Matthew chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." Herod the king heard this, and he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, and they're quoting from Micah, in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. They're quoting a 700-year-old prophecy. When Herod says, okay, chief priests and scribes, he asks of them about the Christ, and they report to him, well, Micah has said. Do you know that there are over 300 prophecies just about the first coming of Jesus? Over 300 prophecies just about the first coming of Jesus. And he perfectly, succinctly, and completely fulfilled every single one of them. Now, Pastor Sharon, what does that have to do with the fact that you're telling me Christmas reveals that God is all powerful? Well, think about it this way. Dr. Charles Ryrie calculated that in order for one person to fulfill each of these prophecies accurately and in order, each of those 300, that's just about his first coming. For any single person to fulfill all of those prophecies accurately and in order, which they need to be, by chance, it would take 200 billion Earths. That's a big number, isn't it? 200 billion Earths, each of them populated with 4 billion people, to find just one person who could achieve only 100 of those prophecies accurately and in order. 200 billion Earths and put 4 billion people on each of those Earths to find one person by chance who could fulfill just 100 of those first 300 prophecies about his first coming. In other words, it's impossible. It's impossible to fulfill these prophecies made hundreds of years before he came. It's impossible that it was all accidental and that we've got the wrong person here. It's impossible. What it does tell me is that there is a being, we now know him as God Almighty and Jesus Christ as his son. There is a being of infinite wisdom and knowledge. There is a being of infinite power who puts all of this into motion and says, my son is coming and he's going to be born here, and on and on and on and on and on the list goes. And this is how he'll save the world. And then he manipulates time and people and kings and kingdoms. He manipulates things to make it all happen. It takes a God of infinite power, far beyond what we could even comprehend, to make this a reality. How can we not run to him? How can we not bow before him? How can I not worship him? How can I not trust him with my life? He is everything he declared. And let me tell you one last thing, and then you're going to pray with me to this King of Kings. We're going to spend a little bit of time during the Christmas season actually worshiping the reason for Christmas, Jesus. If he promised those, and if all these prophecies are fulfilled because God is infinitely wise and powerful, what else can God do? Wow. Why don't we trust him implicitly, totally, completely? Why don't we trust him? And why don't we love him? This same God promised, I'm going away, but I'm preparing a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place, guess what? I'm coming back again. Yes. So that where I am, there you can be also. He promised, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. You can take him at his word. You can take him at his word. He promised, when I go, I'm sending the Spirit. Oh, by the way, every now and then I got to remind you, we're a Pentecostal church. We experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He promised, and he came, the Holy Spirit came. And the promises go on. God is good to his word. He's the only one with the power to fulfill it all. He's with you now. I want you to stand with me this morning, please. You know, theologian William Barclay, not Charles Barclay, William Barclay, he said there's basically three classes of people as it pertains to Christmas. Listen to me, because you're in one of those three classes and you want to put yourself in one of these three groups. The first group is fearful of the king, like Herod. and will reject him and maybe even be hostile about him. You know anybody like that? Hostile about Christianity, the message of the church, the message of Christ. There's that group of people. They're hostile to the idea that they would have to surrender their life to some sovereign. We know him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then there is another group. This is a big group, the indifferent people, the ones who rush past the beauty in the midst of obscurity, the indifferent people. I got life to live and money to make and things to do and junk to buy. In the end, it's all junk. I got stuff to do, you know. Don't have time. Don't have time to worship or pray or go to church. That's such an antiquated thing. I don't have time for that. Yes, we must. We must have time. There's a final group of people like the shepherds, like the magi, those who worship and adore him. And I suspect you want to be in that group. I do. I want to worship him, love him, adore him. He's accessible. He's personal. He's all powerful. And he's here this morning. Why don't we imagine that we're coming right now, not just to a manger. I want you to gather with me here in the front. We're gathering here before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the risen Savior, the risen Savior. You know, those who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead, we've been going through the book of Acts. They spent their lives now telling everybody, he died on the cross, but he rose again. You couldn't get them to be quiet about it. He rose again. He ascended and he's coming back. Hallelujah. So this morning, as you worship him, church, lift your voice, lift your heart, lift your hands. Come to him again. He's personal. He's all powerful. He's accessible. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to worship him. Love him in this place this morning. How we love you.
One star burns in the darkness, shines with the promise, Emmanuel. One child born in the stillness, living within us, Emmanuel. Singing glory, glory, let there be peace.
this Jesus. He's the hope for all mankind. That is the Christmas story. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We come to adore you. We pray that you would fill our lives with all the good things only you can bring. And the best gift this world has ever received is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Lord, as we go from this place today, go with us. Watch over us and keep us safe. Bring us back again to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come back again tonight at 6 o'clock for the children's Christmas musical and play and the cookie celebration afterwards. God bless you. Great to see you.